I would like to call your attention today to Luke chapter 11, and let's begin reading with verse 30. Luke chapter 11, verse 30, "For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here." We would like to call your attention, especially in the message today, to the fact that Nineveh repented. Nineveh repented. Now, certainly there is a great need for repentance in the land today. Repentance, as you well know, is first of all a change of mind. As far as the word is concerned, as used in the Bible, the word repentance means to turn away from sin and turn to God. Turning away from sin is not enough. We must turn to God. Turning to God is not enough. We must turn away from sin. And surely America today needs to turn away from sin and turn to God. Therefore, America needs to repent. The Bible says very clearly, "Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish." And that means not only the individual, for surely that's who it means, but I believe it means the nation as well. If we do not repent, we're surely headed for disaster here in this country. Now, I want us to talk just a little bit today about this matter of Nineveh repenting. You remember the story about Nineveh. Jonah was sent to Nineveh by God, and he refused to go. And he went down to Joppa and caught a ship on his way over to Tarsus. And as he was on the ship, rebelling against God, going in the wrong direction as God's prophet, God sent a great storm upon the sea. And there, after a while, they discovered that it was Jonah's fault because he was a runaway prophet. He had run away from God. They finally, after he insisted that they do so, threw him overboard in order that they might be saved. And they saw then the water still, the storm cease, and their lives were saved. Then, of course, Jonah eventually got to Nineveh, and he did the job that God told him to do. He cried out as he entered the city that God's going to destroy Nineveh. Yet 40 days and God is going to destroy this place. And Nineveh repented from the top to the bottom, from the most powerful to the weakest, from the oldest to the youngest. Nineveh repented and turned to God. Some time ago, I was in a huge shopping center. The wife and I just drove in to the shopping center, and I parked fairly near to one of the main buildings of the shopping center. As soon as I stopped the car and cut off the engine, I heard a voice. I heard someone yelling, and my wife got out and went on into the shopping center. And I sat there in the car for a few moments with the window down, waiting to see what was going on. And I heard somebody shouting. I thought it was somebody selling something or trying to draw attention to some particular business in the shopping center. But in a moment, as the voice came nearer, I realized, I couldn't understand it so plainly, but I realized that he was crying out. It was a man. It was a black man. And he was crying out, "Repent, repent, repent." Over and over again, he was crying, "Repent." And then he would say occasionally, "Judgment is going to come. Repent. Judgment is going to come." Or something similar to that. Over and over again. He never said anything but that, but just simply, "Repent, repent," to the top of his voice. And he walked by me and walked right down with his head in the air, yelling to the top of his voice, and you could hear him throughout the entire shopping center parking lot, "Repent, repent." I happened to think for a moment, what kind of a reaction did I give to this man crying, "Repent"? Now, I'll be very honest with you, and I'm going to give you my honest answer to that question. My reaction, first of all, was, it must be a drunk. That's the first thing I thought of. I said, surely the man is drunk. And then when he got nearer and I saw that he was not staggering and I could see that he was not drunk, then I said, well, the poor man must be crazy. The poor man must not have a good mind. And then I said, well, maybe it isn't so much that as it is that the poor man is ignorant. You see, I cry repent and I preach repent, but I have not yet done that. Walk down the street and yell to the top of my voice, just simply, repent, repent. And I said, the man must be terribly ignorant. Well, now that was my reaction. My first reaction was he's drunk. My next reaction was he is not all there. My next reaction was then he surely must be ignorant. And I got to thinking about this thing. This is exactly what the world thinks about the message, repent. Now, I don't classify myself with the world because I know that we do need to repent. America needs to repent. But at the same time, this is the kind of reaction that the message of the gospel receives from a world that's on its road to hell without God. This is the kind of reaction that men give to the message, repent. They do not think that the man that cries repent knows what he's talking about. They do not think that the man who is crying judgment today has good sense. They consider those of us who are Bible-believing fundamentalists, they consider us crazy. They consider us as having lost our minds or being a religious fanatic and not having good sense or certainly not having very good judgment. Well, just think about that for a moment, and you'll realize what kind of reaction Jonah would have gotten when Jonah came to Nineveh. Now, unless there had been some other circumstances involved, when Jonah reached Nineveh, they would have given him the same reaction that the people in the shopping center were giving to this man crying, repent. There are three things that I believe made Jonah's message received in Nineveh. I want to give you those three things today in the message. First of all, Jonah was a preacher. Jonah was a preacher. I want you to notice in verse 32 here in Luke 11, where we have our text today, the scripture says, "For they repented at the preaching of Jonah." They repented at the preaching of Jonah. Now, Jonah was a preacher. He actually preached. Now, I believe that the word here, and in most places in the Bible, it means the declaration of the gospel. Now, there are ways of presenting the gospel that is not necessarily preaching. There are ways with tracts. Now, that is presenting the gospel, and that is being a witness, and that's what God tells us to do as born-again Christians. But there is still the need for the preaching of the gospel, the declaration, the raising of the voice, if you please. Every once in a while in our meetings, somebody asks, why does the preacher raise his voice when he cries out the message of the gospel? Well, as I read my Bible, I find that the men of God raised their voices and they cried out the message of the truth. And I believe there is a need today. I believe God calls preachers. And I believe if there is anything that this country needs, it needs preachers of the Word of God. You know, there's been a great deal of emphasis upon churches in our day. Now, I'm certainly for that. If you've been listening to this program, you know that I believe in the local Bible-believing separated church. I tie my ministry just as closely as I know how to tie it. My radio ministry, I tie it to the local church in every way that I can. I encourage people to belong to local churches. I keep insisting, I am not your radio pastor. There is no such thing. I don't believe there are any evangelists today that are more closely tied or more concerned about the local church than I am. About the only way I could be more local church is to hold all of my meetings in one particular local church. I believe in the local church, but I do believe that local churches need to produce preachers. I believe there needs to be an emphasis upon the preaching of the Word of God. And in some of our local churches today, preaching is being played down and gimmicks are played up. Little stories are being told and little essays are being given, and we are not getting the declaration of the Word of God that we ought to have. So I believe before America repents, we're going to have some preachers. Preachers like Jonathan Edwards, preachers like Charles Finney, though they may not have raised their voice as loudly as preachers do today, or as loudly as Billy Sunday did in his day, or D.L. Moody did in his day, yet we need preachers who will raise their voice against sin and for righteousness. We need preachers. And because Jonah preached the Word of God, I believe it had a great effect upon Nineveh repenting. Then Jonah was commissioned. God told him to go. And we need preachers today who are willing to go where God says go. We have entirely too many preachers today who are more concerned about how many rooms the parsonage has, how many fringe benefits the salary has, how big is the salary, how many weeks of vacation do I get each year, just what is the church going to expect of me, how big is the church, how big is the building. Instead of asking that, preachers need to ask, where does God want me to go? There are thousands upon top of thousands of communities throughout America today that do not have one Bible-believing separated church where the true gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached. We need some preachers today that will go where God sends them. And I believe if they'll do that, I believe if young men entering the ministry will go where God sends them, that many of them will wind up in some of these out-of-the-way places where they'll never be able to build a congregation of more than 40 or 50, maybe 100, or at the most 200 people, and they'll not be concerned about their name being in the top 10 churches, but they'll be concerned about being where God says go. And then I want to talk about the third thing before my time is gone, and definitely hear this now. I believe not only Nineveh repented because Jonah was a preacher, and because Jonah was commissioned, and Jonah was sent, and Jonah went where God told him to go. But I believe, according to the verse that we read here in Luke 11, verse 30, that Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites. Let's look at that verse again. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, a sign unto the Ninevites. Now, all of us have known and preached for years that Jonah is a type of Christ. I believe Jonah was in the belly of the whale. I believe he died there. Now, you can believe differently if you want, and that's your privilege. Many great theologians and Bible scholars believe that God kept him alive in the belly of the whale. I certainly believe he died there and was raised from the dead like others in the Scripture. But at least he was in the belly of the whale or the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights. He was a sign of the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, Jesus said in Matthew, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now I believe that, but this says something else. This says Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites. Jonah, when he got to Nineveh, was a sign to the Ninevites. Now, frankly, I believe, I can be wrong, but I believe that I know God intervened. Now, I know that, and I know God gave him the power in his preaching. I know that, and I know God brought conviction to Nineveh. I know that. But somehow I believe that a wicked city like Nineveh would have laughed at Jonah had he just come sweeping into town and said, God's going to destroy the city, repent and get right. I believe they would have done the same thing that the people in the shopping center did to the man I mentioned at the beginning of the message. Consequently, somehow Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites. Somehow there was something different about him. Now, you give just a little thought to this. The Scripture does not make this clear, but I do believe that the men who cast Jonah overboard surely must have recognized the power of God. There the ship was being tossed. Jonah said, if I had not run from God, if I had been obedient, and you would not have had this storm. If you'll cast me overboard, the ship will be saved. And when Jonah hit the water, the sea calmed down, the ship settled down on a glassy sea. Now these men must have known that the God of Jonah was the true God of the universe that could still a storm like that. I believe every one of them believed. I believe they accepted the God of Jonah. They might not have known his name, Jonah surely told them, but they might not have understood all there is to know about him, but at least they knew he was a God of power. They knew he was a God of strength, a God that controlled the oceans, and a God that controlled the winds. Now, surely, at least one of them, these were kind men. They didn't want to throw Jonah overboard, so they must have been kind men. And surely one or more or all of them must have thought, now, God had us to throw this man overboard, and God took his life because he didn't tell Nineveh that God was going to destroy Nineveh. Now, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. A God that can cause a storm and stop a storm like this can surely destroy a city. And I somehow believe that they took that ship to shore just as quickly as they could. I believe that somehow they must have felt an obligation to carry the message that God told Jonah to carry. Now, God didn't tell them to carry it, but because God was going to send his man. But somehow I believe one of them or more of them went to Nineveh. Now, if they got to shore and if they started on their journey to Nineveh, they must have beat Jonah there by at least 3 days because he was in the belly of that whale 3 days, or in the belly of that fish 3 days. So they must have beat him there by at least 3 days. And I believe they went into town. And now I'm just believing this. I don't know. The Bible doesn't make this clear. But surely, somehow, Jonah was a sign unto them. I believe perhaps these men came and said, we cast a man overboard named Jonah. And Jonah said God was going to destroy Nineveh. And I think they laughed at them. I think they made fun of them. I really do. I don't think they paid any attention to them at all. And then when Jonah came, approximately 3 days later, because I believe Jonah got there as quickly as he could, when Jonah got there approximately 3 days later and walked into that city crying, God's going to destroy Nineveh, they saw a dead man come to life. A dead man raised from the dead. Now that is a sign. That is a real sign. In fact, that is the sign that we have to preach today, that Jesus was dead, but now he is alive again. He is not dead anymore. He is alive. And because we can preach a living Savior that was one time crucified on a cruel cross, men ought to turn to Christ. So I believe in this manner, Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites. Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites. They said, here is a dead man come to life. That'll make anybody sit up and take notice. And frankly, I believe that's what made Nineveh repent. Now let me say to you today, my dear friend, the Bible says repent. The Word of God says repent or you will perish. Now there is a sign for you today. And that sign is that Jesus died on the cross, was killed, crucified on the cross, but now he rose from the dead and he is alive. And if you'll repent of your sins and if you'll turn to him and trust him as your Savior, you can be saved today. Please do that. Please call on him right now and ask him to save you from your sins.